Come, Holy Spirit, make your presence known to us this morning. In our hearts, open our minds. Let us hear the words you have us hear today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Luke. It's chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now hear the word of God. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Again this week we have another very familiar text that we're doing. If you've been in church and raised in the church, you've heard it. Growing up, you heard it in Sunday school, you heard it preached about. We know this. And I have to be completely honest with you, I don't like it. It bothers me. And I mentioned this at our worship planning meeting, and Dennis looked at me and he says, "Because you're Martha." And I had to laugh because it's true, I am Martha. And so I can relate to Martha, and I think Martha gets a bad rap with this text here. And she goes to Jesus and she says, "I'm doing all the work. This is bothering me. Get Mary to come help." And Jesus didn't take up for her. So it bothers me. Am I the only one this bothers? Are there other people that it bothers? Okay. It's usually the women that it bothers. Yes, there's some people it bothers. So we're going to talk about this, try to see if we can figure out why it bothers us, and then also if we can figure out what we can learn from it, because it's in the Bible for a reason. So let's see if we can figure out what's going on. So it starts by saying that they were on their way. Well, who is they? They is Jesus and his followers. We know that Jesus was talking to his 12 disciples, and before that, the 77 that he'd sent away, and now they were back. So probably there are around 89 people who are following Jesus around. Now we hope, I doubt very seriously, that Jesus showed up at Martha's house with 89 people. Okay, I hope that wasn't the case. I doubt it. Because what would typically happen is you would get to villages, and then you would go to different people's homes, and it was the custom, because there was no Hotel 8, there were no restaurants, gas stations, that sort of thing. So people would put you up for the evening, and they would come, you would come to their houses, and you'd say, "Can we stay here?" And they'd say, "Of course." It's part of the culture, what would happen. We don't do that now, and it's a little hard for us to understand it, but that's the way things would work then. So Jesus shows up, and Martha opened up her home. She welcomed him, as the custom would go. It was very common for that. So she did what people typically do. So we can imagine this scene. We're there. Someone knocks on our door. All of a sudden, we have a guest, an unexpected guest. So what do you do when you have a guest? You welcome the person in. You say, "Come, have a seat. Make yourself comfortable. Can I get you something to drink?" You do that. And then you go into the kitchen and you try to figure out, do I have enough food for dinner? Right? That's what you do, is do I have enough food for dinner? So you go to the refrigerator and you open it up and you say, "Oh, thank goodness I bought a bunch of chicken this week because we were going to have leftovers. But that's okay. I want the best for the Lord, so I'm willing to share whatever I have here." So you're in the kitchen, you're bustling around, you're trying to get everything ready, and you stop and you think, "Where is that sister of mine? Why isn't she in here helping me? She knows how much work it is to fry up a bunch of chicken. Why isn't she in here helping me?" Then you look out in the living room, and what is she doing? She's sitting there at Jesus' feet, listening to him like a disciple. What in the world is going on here? and you start to fume, maybe a little bit. Y'all can tell I relate to Martha a lot, right? So you start to fume, and you say to yourself, I wish I could sit at Jesus' feet, just listen to what he has to say, and doing nothing. She should come in here, and she should help me. But no, Mary's going to sit there and do nothing. She can't help. And so you're working yourself up into a full head of steam in the kitchen, and you decide, I'm going to go and I'm going to talk to Jesus. Because obviously Jesus does not understand how much work it takes to fry up a bunch of chicken. So if he knew, then he would tell Mary to come in here and to help me. So Martha goes out and she says to Jesus, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. This is kind of like a child going to their mom and saying, Mom, Mary's not helping me. I'm having to do all the work by myself. Tell her to help me. Y'all ever heard that? Yeah, okay. So Martha was kind of doing that. And if we were the parents, we would probably tell Mary, all right, Mary, you need to get up and go help your sister. Right? That's what I would do. So that's what I'm expecting Jesus to do. But that's not what Jesus does. Instead, he says this. He says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by so many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken from her. Can you imagine what Martha must have been thinking? Okay, my fellow Marthas out there, can you imagine what you would have been thinking at this point? This is what I'd be thinking. I'd be thinking, well, Jesus, that's all fine and good for Mary to choose the better part, but that chicken ain't going to fry itself. Somebody's got to go in there and fry that chicken because we all have to eat, and it's certainly not going to be Mary. And I would be really angry. But Martha didn't say that. And that's not what she did. Thank goodness. She didn't sass Jesus. I'm glad to hear that. I'm sad to say that I probably would have. But it leaves us here trying to figure out, what does all this mean? And why do we think that Jesus reacted the way he did to Martha? Well, part of the reason that Jesus reacted the way he did was because Martha had stepped out of line. I suspect if she'd sassed Jesus, that would have been even worse. But she had stepped out of line. She breached hospitality protocols. She had a problem with Mary. And instead of going to Mary, she went to Jesus. And she wanted Jesus to intervene for her. She put the guest of honor, the Lord, in a position where he had to listen to her criticize her sister. And in the process of doing that, she criticized Jesus. So she said this, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work myself? Tell her then to help me. Do you not care? She's saying that Jesus doesn't care. He must not care about her. Do we really think that Jesus doesn't care about Martha? No. But that's what Martha is saying. And another thing we find is that Martha is really focused on herself. In that one little piece of this one question and one sentence, she references herself three times. She says, Mary has left me to do all the work myself. Tell her to help me. Me, me, me. So Jesus isn't chiding Martha for wanting to fry up some chicken and show Jesus hospitality. He's not bothered by Mary's busyness, which is what we tend to think of when we read this. He's really bothered by her worried and distracted nature, where she gets to that. She's gotten so off base and so distracted by all the details of her hospitality that she can't focus on the one thing. And the one thing is Jesus and what Jesus has to say. She's so far off base that she's actually asking Jesus to intervene in her domestic dispute with her sister. Can you imagine that? Jesus is in your house, and instead of listening to what he may have to tell you, you're worried about what your sister might not be doing and how something may be unfair to you, and you're getting Jesus to intervene in that. That's what you're going to do with your time with Jesus. So this passage is telling us that we need to make sure we have time to hear Jesus' word, that we take that time. But we have to be careful, because sometimes that's where we stop with this. We say, okay, I just need to forget about everything else. I need to listen to Jesus. That's all I'm supposed to be doing. And some people have taken that and justified being in a monastery. And that's all they do. They listen to Jesus all the time. But there's something else going on here, because this passage is positioned right after last week's passage. And that's the one with the lawyer questioning Jesus and the Good Samaritan. And the last words that Jesus gave to the lawyer were, "Go and do likewise. Go and love your neighbor by showing compassion and mercy, like the Good Samaritan." So there's a go and do message right before the story of Mary and Martha, which is a stop and listen message. So that got me wondering, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to go and do? Or are we supposed to stop and listen? Because he just told this lawyer to go and do, but now he's chiding Martha for doing. And he's saying, you need to stop and listen. So what is it? What are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to do both. That's the tricky part of this. So let's think about that with this passage. What if the go and do didn't happen in this passage? What if Martha had joined Mary at Jesus' feet? She would have heard Jesus' words, but guess what? There wouldn't have been any chicken, right? So there would have been no meal there. So we need a little bit of go and do. But what if Mary had joined Martha in the kitchen? Then nobody would have listened to Jesus' words. There would have been no stop and listen. So it takes both. So there's a time to go and do. There's a time to stop and listen. And knowing which to do when is a matter of spiritual discernment. So we have to pray. We have to spend time with God. We have to study God's word and meditate, which is stopping and listening. We have to do all that so we'll know when we need to go and do and what we need to do. And if we don't do both, we can find ourselves just running around, busy, 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 distracted, never hearing from God, and then what we're doing is what we think we need to be doing, not what God is telling us to be doing. Or if we're always in prayer and Bible study, we never get outside the walls of this church, then we're not doing anything to further God's kingdom. It takes both. So if we were to ask Jesus of these two examples, which should we follow? The going and doing of the Samaritan and Martha, or the stopping and listening of Mary? He would say both, because one without the other creates a problem. We're out of balance if we don't have both. So my question to you today is, how's your balance? Do you take time to stop and listen, to hear from God before you go and do? It's easy to miss one of these steps, especially in the church. We think we have to do. We need to do this and do that and do this other thing. And I know this church over there, and they do this thing, and this church over there, and they do this other thing. And we're not stopping to listen to see, okay, but what is God calling us to do? So we need to stop and listen so we're not distracted from hearing God's word. And then we need to make sure that we're spending our time in the Bible and time in prayer so that we can hear from God. But if that's all we do and we never leave the church, then we're not doing anything to further God's kingdom. It takes both of these things. And when we take time to stop and listen to God, and we hear God's word, and the word that will direct us, we'll then do what God desires. And our busyness isn't a problem, because the busyness that we're doing is what God intends for us to do. And God's not going to overburden any of us. We'll be right there where God wants us to be. And that's when it's all about God and not about us. And that is a great thing when we get to that point. So how is your balance? I want you to think about that this week. How is your balance? Do you have some stop and listen, the striving or go and do? And then as you're going and doing, you take time to stop and listen to make sure you're still on the right track? So that's important that we do that. So think about it this week and try to figure out if you have the balance that you need to be where God desires. And if you don't, then stop, pray, and listen, and that'll direct how you go and what you do. Let's pray. Dear God, help us as we leave here today. Help us to stop and listen to you before we go out and do. Help us to discern the right amount of listening and the right amount of doing, so that we can be about doing the work of your kingdom here on earth. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.